Well, we have 15 minutes left. So we're going to do a crash course. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we are talking about the church. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Last week we said that the church was the people of God. Okay? Tonight I want you to see from 1 Corinthians 12 that the church is the body of Christ. Oh, this is dirty. All right, the body of Christ. Last week we said we were the people of God. Tonight, the church is the body of Christ. And before we look at the text, just to give you a little bit of a context, this is a struggling church, and they're struggling with a lot of things. We looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 last week. Same letter, same church. This is the church that has a sexually promiscuous person in their midst, and they're proud of it. But there's other issues going on. They're getting drunk at their communion services. Okay, there's a lot of favoritism going on in the church. There's a major misuse of spiritual gifts. And Paul tells them in chapter 12 that the purpose of spiritual gifts is the common good. And then he expands on that in chapter 12, beginning in verse 12, and explains to them why God has given us these spiritual gifts. And let me begin reading in verse 12. He says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." Okay, so here's the big concept I want us to understand this morning, is that, or this evening, Christians should not approach the church as consumers, but as members of a body. This means that we are to commit to one another, depend on one another, honor one another, and care for one another. In all we do in the church, we should seek not the fulfillment of our own desires, but the common good. Now, let me ask you a question before we look a little bit deeper at the text. Imagine that this week you were called away to move somewhere else, and you're going to move somewhere 100, 200 miles away, and one of your first orders of business would be, I hope, to find a new church. Okay? So what sort of things would you look for in a new church? Word of God is preached. Very good. What else? 10 churches, they all preach the Word of God. Okay, what's your next criteria? Friendliness. Okay? What else? Bible believing. Very good. What else? Fellowship. What else? Love and unity. Sure. What else? Opportunity to serve. Good. What else? Opportunity to build up the church. A lot of good answers. I love those last two, because those last two answers said, I'm not just looking for something for me, but something for the body, right? I want to, how can I serve the body. Okay? That's the idea that we see in our text this evening. So, he says we are one body and many members. Now, I want you to look at verses 15 and 16. And he says about the foot and the ear. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. So here we've got a foot and an ear. And they're saying, because I'm not this other body part, I'm not really a part of the body. Paul says, that's crazy. Of course they're a part of the body. But what attitudes are expressed by the foot and the ear in verses 15 and 16? What are they feeling? What's that? Left out. Yeah, good. What else? Unimportant. Rejected. What else? Yeah, inferior. Do people feel like that in the church today? Yes. What does Paul say to people that feel that way? You feel inferior. You feel excluded. You feel not a part. But he says, that is not true. In the same way that an ear is still a part of the body, even though it wishes it were an eye. Right? Okay, so the feelings are not true. Because you are part of a body. If you are a part of a local church, you might feel inferior. You might feel excluded. You might feel unconnected or disconnected in some way or another. But Paul would say to you under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that none of those things are true. You are a part of the body. Okay? He gives us two reasons why that feeling is not a reality. The first is in verse 17 and 19 through 20. And essentially what Paul says is that without many parts, there is no body. Okay, so if at Pecosin Baptist Church, man, I'm just not like everybody else in this one way. Paul would say to you, that's a good thing. Because bodies aren't made up of a bunch of ears or a bunch of eyeballs. Bodies are made up of different parts that do different things, that look differently, that act differently, that function differently, but they operate together. Okay? So you're not supposed to, we're not looking for uniformity in the church. We're looking for unity. Okay? God did not create you with a uniform body where everything is the same, but He created you with a body where if things are working right, things are working in unity. Okay? It's supposed to be the same way in the church. The other reason why he says they shouldn't feel this way is in verse 18. He says, God is the one that arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. In other words, if I don't fit in because I can't do this that someone else can do, remind yourself that God is the one that gave you the gifts that you have. God is the one that did that. So when we complain because we don't quite have the gifts of somebody else, who are we ultimately unhappy with? With God. With God. So if you have ever been tempted to feel like the foot or the ear, how do these verses encourage you? Amen. Great word, brother. Amen.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Amen. 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 We do what we do for Christ, not for recognition. We do it for Him, for the glory of God and the good of others. Okay, so you got your eye, or your ear rather, and your foot feeling inferior. Okay, how do the eye and the head feel in verse 21? What are they saying? Yeah, I don't need you, right? Okay, what sort of feeling is that? Pride. Superiority. Okay? This is like the pastor that says, don't you see how hard I'm working and you guys aren't doing anything? Look at everything I'm doing here. I don't need you guys. You guys are slowing me down. Mark Dever, in his book, Nine Marks of a Healthy Church, he says that he was in a local church and he sat every week beside a young man that was I think he was a part of Campus Crusade for Christ at the time. And he said to this young man, are you a member of this church here? And the guy said, no, they would slow me down. And he said, he's a godly guy. He loved the Lord. He's trying to do ministry. But he felt like if he got connected with this church, that they would slow him down. And Mark Dever said to him, do you ever think that God might use you to speed them up? Sometimes we say things like this. Well, I'm not going to church on Sunday night or Wednesday night, or I'm not going this Sunday because I just don't get anything out of it. Right? What if you're supposed to be here not to get something out of it, but to put something into it? What if you're supposed to be here not for you, but for somebody else? What if other people are encouraged by your presence? What if God desires to use you to benefit somebody else? Rather than thinking we're superior, we've got the knowledge, we're good to go, maybe we're here to help someone a little bit behind us get a little bit closer to Jesus. That's the attitude that Paul is talking about. Paul gives a couple of points to the eye and the head, beginning in verse 22. Let's read these together, verses 22 through 25. He says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Okay? So just because someone appears to be weak and not pulling their weight in the church, or not very strong spiritually, Paul says, those people, you cannot do without them. You need them. They're indispensable. Verse 23, on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. So those people that feel dishonorable, maybe they're embarrassing. Maybe this has happened here, maybe it hasn't, but I've been in churches before where people get saved and they're kind of embarrassing because they're new believers and they don't know that there's four-letter words you're not supposed to say in church. Or they don't know that maybe that's not the best outfit to wear. And it's just hard to see this person here and they just don't seem to fit in. And maybe we're just going to kind of put them in the back row so nobody sees them, right? Paul says, no. Someone that seems dishonorable in the church, we ought to bestow greater honor on them. That's what he says. Verse 25, let's go there. That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. So the reason why God designed us the way that He did in the local church, where we're different, is so that we would be unified and care for each other. That's what He says in verse 25. Okay, we're almost done. So, in light of this passage, how is a Lone Ranger Christian who tries to live out his or her faith independently of the local church, how is that person misguided? Yeah. Not being obedient to Scripture. Absolutely. What else? How are Lone Ranger Christians that aren't connected to church, how are they misguided?
missing out on the strength that the body supplies, right? What else? Yeah. Right. Yeah. 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 Right. Yeah. Absolutely. What else? John. A big thing as well in this text that we see is that they're missing out on serving other believers. Susan. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah, there's so many reasons, isn't there? Yeah. Amen. Amen. This is why church attendance, church membership matters. There are dozens, if not hundreds, of commands in the New Testament that you cannot obey on your own. Love one another. Bear one another's burdens. You can't obey those by yourself. You can't. We need each other to do that. So what are some ways that we can reject this consumerism that creeps into the local church that says, I'm going to be here for me? What are some ways that we can reject that and seek one another's good in our Sunday morning worship service, for example? Let's start there. What's a way, really simple, really practical way, that we can say, okay, it's not about me, but it's about the good of my brothers and sisters in the local church in Sunday morning worship? Greet one another. Absolutely. Instead of saying, well, no one shook my hand, I'm done with this place. Right? Okay? I've heard that before. Instead of saying, well, someone needs to greet me, you say, I'm going to greet them. Okay? Very simple. What else? Yeah. Yeah. Encourage each other. Amen. What else? Yeah. 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 Amen. Amen. Get a little bit deeper than just shaking a hand and saying hello. Yeah, very good. What about as we're singing? Okay? Every Sunday morning we gather together, we sing. There is a temptation in that moment for you to be a consumerist living for you, or for you to be pursuing the good of the entire congregation. So how do we do one and not the other? What are some things we can do? Participate. Actually sing. What? Stand up. Yeah. Yeah. What else? Focus on praising God. Sing. Yeah. Yeah. Don't complain in your heart because you didn't like that song. Okay? Or verbally after the service, or to the person next to you. Can you believe we're singing this, you know? Now, if you really don't like a song and you have a biblical reason to not like it, then maybe we need to talk about that. But if it's just, I don't like that style, I don't like that tune, I don't like this or that, rather than doing that, maybe we should say, my brothers and sisters seem to enjoy this. Praise God that they're connecting with Him in worship. That's wonderful. Rather than, well, that's not what I want to say. You know, I think every single one of us should leave Sunday morning worship feeling a little bit sinfully, feeling a little bit disappointed because we didn't get to sing all the songs we wanted to sing.
Because if everyone got to sing all the songs they wanted to sing, then everybody else didn't get to sing the songs that they wanted to sing, right? Okay? So all of us, the point is not for you to have a worship service with all the songs just for you. It's not for you. It's for the body, the good of the body, and the glorification of Jesus Christ. Right? Okay? What about, one more question. Look at verse 26. He says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Someone mentioned a toe earlier. You stub your toe, you feel it everywhere. If you get it bad, you feel it everywhere, right? And it's not like your head can just say, well, it wasn't my toe, so I'm not worried about it. The way that God designed your body is that when you hurt somewhere, you just hurt. That is meant to be true in the church. Okay? So, if one of us is hurting, all of us should be hurting for that person. If one of us is rejoicing, all of us should be rejoicing with that person. This means as Christians that we're going to be simultaneously weeping and rejoicing just about all the time. But that's part of what we're called to do. So what are some ways we can do that better? Yeah. Yeah. I love what you said. You said, listen, you don't know. Some of you don't realize that there are some people in here that are weeping in their hearts right now because you haven't talked to them. How are you doing? How can I pray for you? Right? And some of you may not realize that someone in here is just overjoyed because God did something awesome. And we don't know because we haven't listened to them. Or maybe you're that person and you need to open up and share and be open and vocal with your brothers and sisters and be vulnerable. I'm really struggling with this. Right? Pray for me. Right? So that's a great way. Anything else? Sure. Be respectful, yeah. Yeah, amen.
Well, I think we find out somebody over at the church that we don't do it face to face. We can always send a card.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a great ministry of just sending cards to people and praying for them. That can be a wonderful ministry. I want to encourage some of you. Some of you that are normally here with us on Wednesday night prayer meeting, maybe take one of those prayer requests that you hear, maybe just one, say, I'm going to write that person a card and tell them I prayed for them. You have no idea the ministry that that will be. And that is a way to rejoice with those who are rejoicing and weep with those who are weeping. What? Amen. Amen. That's great. Anything else? I can rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Any other thoughts? Well, let's end thinking on Jesus. He is the one that rejoices with those who rejoice and weeps with those who weep better than anybody. Remember, as Jesus stood outside the tomb of Lazarus, he wept. The Bible doesn't tell us why he wept, and there's different ideas on that, but I think that
Part of the reason why he wept was because he was identifying with those that were weeping. Jesus knew that Lazarus was coming back to life. He knew it. He knew that they were going to be rejoicing very soon. And yet Jesus wept because he was, I believe, mourning with those who are mourning. And Jesus wept. Jesus rejoices when one sinner repents. He rejoices in our joy. He weeps in our sorrow. He is the great high priest that we can go to. And we ought to be the church, the people of God. We ought to be the body of Christ that mirror to each other what Jesus has already shown us in his word. That's what we're here to do. All right, brothers and sisters, let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you again for this opportunity to gather together as your church. We thank you for the brothers and sisters here tonight. And God, we do pray that you would help us to leave here encouraged and strengthened by your word. Jesus, we praise you that you are the one that does all of these things perfectly. We pray that we would submit to you as our head and that we would be the body of Christ the way that you've commanded us in your word. God, if there are people here tonight that feel inferior because they don't have this or that gift, I pray that they would be encouraged by your word and reminded that they are valuable, they are precious to you, and that they matter. And Jesus, I pray that they would be encouraged to use their gifts and their talents for your glory and for the good of those around them. And Lord, for those of us that may struggle with feelings of superiority, feeling that we are better than other people because we have this or that gift or this or that ability, we pray that you would forgive us, Jesus. We pray that you would give us humility. And we pray that you would give us a unity here at Pocosin Baptist Church unlike anything that we have ever seen before, so that the world around us sees something different happening here. We pray that we would do this for the glory of Jesus Christ and the good of your church. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.